And tonight we have Tris Munsick and Blake Hampton, right? Tris was with Plank Stewardship and has done the enterprise accounting for quite a while. So he's going to work through yearlings versus bred cows and answer anybody's questions. So I'll just turn it over to Tris and let him start in. So thank you guys for coming.
Thank you to WSE for having myself and Blake on. I asked Blake after the fact, just, and I'll let him introduce himself real quick after I'm done just talking for a second. But Blake is a loan officer at an ag credit union up in Helena. And I thought it'd be beneficial for all of us just to have a kind of a financial person here to give a little different perspective on what we're going to talk about. When Chris and Holly called me about this, they were just wondering if I would talk about a scenario that we're all pretty familiar with, and that's coming in and out of drought. And everybody on this call has probably, if you're located in the Western U.S., has pretty good experience with drought. And I think it's probably something that we're all going to have to deal with more and more. Or if we're not coming out of one, we're going back into another one. A large part of that is how do we manage our cow herd and our animals on our place to where we're not stocking and destocking in such a way that we're losing money every time we're doing that. We're operating in a pretty small margin business, and we'd like to be able to stock our place and destock our place on our terms as much as possible and not be reactive to weather conditions. The line of work that we're in, there's plenty that we can't control. The precipitation is definitely one of those. But one thing we can control how we plan for that. And the way to plan for a drought is to start planning ahead of time and not when we're 2 years into a drought and we're out of options, right? It's nice to have some options on the table before we get those limited down by being in the middle of a drought. This scenario that we're going to talk about today, we're going to go through an example of some of us in eastern Montana. You guys have been in a pretty wicked drought for quite a while now, and it seems like we're maybe coming out of that and are doing a little better this year. Thank God, huh? I know those of you guys, I see Brian Maddox on here in western Montana. You guys are in a little different boat. It's been a little dry up there from what I've been told, but we're going to go in to say to those of you guys who are just coming out of a drought and are looking to maybe restock our place. But first, I'll let Blake just really quickly introduce himself before we get going on this example.
Yep. Again, my name is Blake Hopman. I'm with Montana Livestock Ag Credit out of Helena. We work with producers, farm ranchers all over the state of Montana. Before that, I worked for University of Wyoming Extension over in the northeast part of Wyoming. And Tris and I actually worked together quite a bit over in that area, doing some ranch business type of workshops. And some of the tools that Tris is going to talk about today are some things that we used to teach to producers. It's always nice to have somewhat simplified tools or user-friendly tools to help you guys as producers making decisions. And obviously the last couple of years with the drought scenario that's taken place has made things very difficult on whether folks trying to decide whether to destock, how much to destock, how much hay can they afford? Is that a good decision? How am I going to build back the herd? Should I build back the herd? There's a lot of questions out there that are quite difficult. And I don't know, it's just helpful to have some tools at your hand, maybe to help you make some informed decisions. So anyways, I'm just going to play a filler role. Tris will take the lead talking about this. And if there's any questions maybe that you guys have for me, a lender's perspective. I've been just working for Montana Livestock for a little over 3 years now, and maybe some of you too have actually more experience than I do on the lending side of things, or being a borrower that can provide some insight more than me. But anyways, I look forward to the discussion. It's definitely a needed discussion during these challenging times.
Yeah, cool. One, like Blake said, we're going to go through, I'm going to show you guys a set of tools that are online that were developed by some guys in the University of Wyoming Extension. And for those, I know a few of you out there have been through our economic workshops, you know, where we're trying to break out these different enterprises within our ranch and determine the profitability of each enterprise, say your cows or your heifers, or your haying business. And one thing that some feedback that we've had with those is that it's complicated. You have these big Excel budgets to go through, and it's not an easy thing to wade through. And so some of these tools that we're going to show you today, and one in particular, are a little more user-friendly, and they're trying to get at some beneficial information to you, for you guys, to help you make some of these decisions without having to know every little detail. So with relatively little information about your place, to be able to tell you some stuff. For this example, I'm gonna say we're just gonna use a kind of a made up ranch. I'm gonna say we're running 325 pairs on a normal year. That's normally where we're stocked at. 1,200 pound cows. A drought hits, right? The ranch has had to destock about 40%, and so now we're running 200 pair on about 3,000 AUMs of forage production, okay? So we've gone from 325 pair to 200 pair due to this drought. And now finally, fast forward a year or two, a couple of years, we're getting some rain. We got the grass is growing again. We think there's maybe some good years ahead. We're coming out of this drought. And what's our best move, right? So we have available forage now. Now we're understocked on this place, and we have 2,000 more AUMs to hit our normal year. And I'm just going to show you this slide real quick if I can screen share. Yes. So a normal year is, these slides are from a presentation that Dr. John Ritten, he's currently with CSU, but he was with UW at the time. I've seen him give, and he was kind enough to give me these slides to use for you. Just real quick, we know that an average year is a joke in the ag business, right? How often do we hit our average precip or our average forage production? One out of however many years, right? So we're trying to, in our business, we tend to plan for an average year, but that may not always be the best, right? So this data is based out of Cheyenne. The numbers aren't really important here, but this is spring precip, April, May, June precip over from 1982 to 2014. And they have it in millimeters just so you can really see the variability in precip over the years, right? And right, this line through the middle is the average precip. So you can see how many years in there we're actually hitting the average. What is it? Maybe a third in there, a quarter, right? There's a lot of years that are above average and plenty that are below. Forage production is graphed here in that same area. And as you can see, it is correlated pretty closely with spring precip. There's some other factors, temperature and stuff that's not taken into account here. But so it follows precip pretty closely though. And so, right, it's hard to match our stocking rate and our management of our place with our production, right? Most of us are operating somewhere in this line here. So part of the time we're overstocked, we're understocked if we have a lot of forage, right? We're not taking advantage of this excess forage. And you soil scientists out there will probably say, That's not wasted forage. That's going back and being incorporated into the soil. And that's a good thing. We're keeping litter on the soil. And I agree with that. But for our sake of argument here, we're underutilizing our ranch here in those the good years, and we're overutilizing it in the bad years. Yeah, here, missed opportunity for extra forage. We could say that's still benefiting our soil and still benefiting our ranch, and I'd agree with you. And then in the tough years, maybe we can feed our way through if we have a one-year drought or a two-year drought, but we're having to make some tough management decisions maybe at inopportune time if that drought lasts very long, right? So maybe we're having to sell off part of our herd. Maybe we were understocked to begin with. Maybe we're having to buy expensive hay to feed our way through that drought, right? Or wean calves early or something like that. I just show you this to drive home the point that usually we're not operating in ideal conditions and matching our stocking rate and our management of our herd to the forage production. So back to our example, right? We have 325 cows. We've been through this drought. We've destocked 40%. Now times are looking better. So we're wondering what to do with this excess forage. Should we buy back those 125 cows and go back to the status quo that we've been operating at? Or should we take a look at some other options? And a lot of us we're comfortable with doing what we have always been doing. But this is going to be a tool that will hopefully allow us to compare some different management decisions or some different options that we have to see if maybe there's a better option out there than what we've been doing. All right. This set of tools is pretty handy. And those of you guys who have been to our workshops, I've tried to push these and or at least to show you guys that these exist. So while if you Google Weil Ranch Tools at the University of Wyoming Extension, Bridger Fates out of the UW Extension has developed these ranch tools that are they're dang sure user friendly and they're pretty intuitive, and you don't need a heck of a lot of information to put in there for it to generate some good information for you to have as far as decision-making. The one we're going to use today is called a partial budget, and it helps us make decisions such as selling calves or yearlings. Should I attain ownership on my heifers? What should I do with my coal cows? So basically what this partial budget is doing is isolating, say, your status quo. Here's what you're doing. And then one management change that we're thinking of doing, right? You're kind of holding all your other variables on your place constant. And you're saying, should I sell all my calves at weaning? Or should I retain ownership and run all the heifers for a year and sell bred heifers, right? So it's these, I can either do A or B. And it's saying, okay, am I better off with the status quo that I have been doing, or am I better off with this other option? Should I keep putting up my own hay, or should I sell my hay and equipment and start buying hay? Just one management change. We're not talking about changing calving seasons and all this other stuff that could come into it. We're trying to just compare A to B here. Real quick, they also have cow valuation tool. How much is that cow worth to you, depending on how many calves you expect her to have? That's pretty handy if you're going to buy cattle. Coal cow marketing tool, the price slide, help you figuring out your slide, stocking rates. You can go through these yourself. Well, I'm not going to talk about the rest of these, but they're pretty handy. UW Extension Weil Ranch Tools there's some good stuff in here. We're going to go to the partial budget today. And we're going to say, okay, we could run those. We have 200 cows now, right? Should we restock our place to our original numbers of 325? Or should we run yearlings? We're going to say our other option that we're thinking about is running yearlings on our place. And there's probably other options out there that we could do, but we're going to say for the sake of argument today that we could run our 125 cows for a year, or we could run 600 yearlings for 4 months if we're going to buy them in May and sell them in September, okay? I've figured out most of these numbers just for, Chris asked me if I'd keep this to about a half an hour. Some of these costs and stuff you guys might have want to argue with, and that's fine. We can, I'll just ask you to, we could save it for the discussion section and we can play around with these numbers. But for the sake of brevity here, I'm gonna just go through these and put them in. We're going to say we're going to restock with yearlings instead of calf pairs. So our four sections here, it's pretty simple when you break it down. So it's right, we're comparing our management change, which is the yearlings, to our status quo, which are our cow-calf pairs that we've always done, okay? And we're trying to see if we're better off with the yearlings or with the cows. So here's our proposed change, which is restocking with yearlings instead of cow-calf pairs. What are our additional costs from running these yearlings? What are those yearlings going to cost us to run from May to September or June 1st to October 1st? We're going to have 600 yearlings, and I'm going to say they're 650 weights put on, which is going to average 0.725 animal unit. So an animal unit is based on a 1,000-pound cow or an animal unit month, an animal AUM that you guys are familiar with, I'm sure. It's how much forage a 1,000-pound cow will eat in a month or consume in a month. We're going to say she's coming on. These yearlings are coming on at 650, and they're going to come off at 850, okay? So they're averaging 725 pounds while they're on our grass. So 600 yearlings. Sorry, we got 600. Our price is 172.5. Oh, yeah. Sorry, we bought these at 165 bucks a 100 weight, okay? Are you guys following me here? Sorry, I'm kind of jumping around. I'll get better at this as we go. Okay, so we have 600 units, 600 yearlings at $1.65 a pound or $165 per 100 weight, okay? Then we have some forage, right? We're gonna charge them for that 4 months of grass. Sorry, forage, and they're gonna average 725, 8 animal unit months, which is 1740 total AUMs. We're gonna charge ourselves 35 bucks an AUM, which may be expensive or cheap depending on where you guys live, but we're gonna charge the cows the same, okay? We can play around with these numbers later. I'm just trying to get in the ballpark, all right? Salt and mineral, okay. I'm going to say $2 a head. Vet cost, I'm going to say $1.50 a head. Could be more, right? Some of you guys with bad pink eye problems out there might have higher vet costs this year up in Western Montana.
Easy.
Trucking, 600 head. I'm going to say $2.50. Fuel, I just lumped that together. Say 750 bucks out checking yearlings, checking water, delivering salt and mineral. Then we're going to charge them some interest. And I'm going to say interest is going to be, we're going to say, what was our total cost here? $643,500. We're going to say, what's a spare? Blake, 7%? If we're on our operating note, we're going to say we had to borrow the money to buy these yearlings, okay? So we're going to say the bank's going to charge us 7% on our loan here. And then we're going to divide that by 365 days just to get it in how much we're paying in interest per day. And then we're going to times it by 120 days that we have them, okay? So we're basically just trying to get how much of this interest are we paying before, between borrowing the money to buy these yearlings and when we sell them and we pay off our bank note. Okay, so let me just do the math here real quick. 500, 643,500 at 7% interest divided by 365 is $123 per day we're paying in interest on these yearlings times 120 is 14,809.
And even if you didn't have to, let's say, borrow the money to purchase the cattle or something like that, it would still be good to figure something in there because your money is worth something. You could invest that or and get a return as well. Tris?
Yep. Without getting too far into it, it's either the economists either say it's your interest rate or your discount rate. For those, if you're borrowing this money, that's a cash cost to you, that $14,000-$15,000 in interest, right? But if you're not, even if you're not borrowing that money, like Blake said, and you're just cash flow that those yearlings, that $15,000, we got to do better than that, hopefully, just to beat investing that somewhere else, right? Because you got to charge yourself something for the opportunity cost, because that's $643,000 that you could be investing somewhere else, right? So there's an opportunity cost for using that to buy those yearlings. You no longer have the ability to use that capital somewhere else, right? So we're saying we could make money somewhere else with that $643,000. So either way, we're going to charge ourselves that interest, okay? All right, so there's probably some more here, but that captures the majority of them, right? We're running these yearlings. We bought them for $643,000. We charge ourselves the grass for 4 months, salt and minerals, some vet costs, some trucking, fuel, and interest on our loan, right? So that's pretty much the cost on these yearlings. That's the additional cost of this proposed change to our management. What's our additional income? Right. So in September, October, we're coming off as 850-pound yearlings, we're going to say. Okay. So we probably had some dye. I'll figure in a 2% or a 2% death loss. That's 588. So we're going to sell 588 850 weight yearlings in the fall. Okay. That's 140 or 1400 per animal. And this year, this year's a little different than most years. Those of you guys who have been keeping track of prices this year, there's pretty much no price slide between 600 pound or 650 pound animals and 800 pound animals. Maybe a little bit depending on where you go, but those heavier animals are selling pretty high this year. So I realize it's not like that a lot of times, and you're going to have to figure your price slide in here on your additional income, right? So a lot of times those 850 weights are not going to be selling at the same price as you bought them, right? But this year they are in a lot of cases. I got these numbers out of Miles City and I just looked them up the other day. So they're pretty current. So here this year, this is what these guys are selling these yearlings for. So here's our costs and here's our income for our addition for this change, right? Scrolling down, what's our reduced income from this change? So now we're no longer able to run those 125 head of cows, right? That we were thinking of restocking with. Since we ran those yearlings, we used up all that forage. So we're no longer able to run those 125 head of cows. So what we're missing out on is selling the wean calves from those cows, right? So that's our reduced income that we no longer can get since we decided to go with those yearlings, okay? We were going to say our status quo was running 125 more mama cows on our place at a death loss. Let's figure out our weaning. Oh, I said at a 92% weaning rate, we're going to be weaning 115 calves. We'll say they're 500 pounds at 210 a pound. Is that all right with everybody? Right in the range, right? Like I said, we can mess around with these prices and stuff a little later. And obviously these prices are going to really influence on what this is telling us, right? So we're going to wean 100. This is the other side of our equation if we decided to go with those cows, right? So if we go with the cows, we're going to wean 115 head of calves and if they're selling at $2.10 a pound, that's just a little over $1,000 a head, okay? So that's the income. That's $121,000, say. That's our reduced income that that we can no longer get since we decided to run these yearlings, right? So we lost our ability to make that $120,000 by selling those calves. Now we also have reduced costs, right? So what are the costs associated with running those 125 head of cows for the year? We're going to say we're going to have to buy those cows, right? So right now, let's say we bought 125 head of cows at $2,200 a piece at 7% interest. Okay. We're going to amortize that here. So we're going to amortize that over 5 years. All right. So we're going to say, I'm going to say those cows are going to have a probably around a 5 year useful productive lifespan, right? The national average is a little lower than that, but we're going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say they're going to bring home five calves. So if we're going to say she's going to be in our herd for 5 years, we're going to pay that interest and we're going to pay that over 5 years. And but we're going to try to get that in an annual cost, right? Because we're not getting all of the value out of these cows in 1 year, right? It's impossible to get. We're hoping that she's going to last 13 years, right? Most likely she's probably going to last about five. So we're going to try to split the value into 5 years. And also we're going to spread the cost of buying her out over 5 years too. So we're going to say, yeah, if we're paying 7% interest on that loan and we're paying $2,200 a head, we're charging ourselves, that comes out to about $67,000 a year, okay, over 5 years to pay for these cows. Blake, you have anything you want to say on that? Does that sound, am I explaining that in a reasonable right. way?
Yep. Think of it, if you had to go borrow the money, maybe your bank would term out purchasing those cows, you know, over 5 years or something like that. So that's just the thought there.
Yeah, nice. Okay. Okay, so then we're going to charge, we're just going to try to list some of these costs associated with running these cows for the year. Okay, so we have the cost of buying her, and we've included the interest in there. There were costs of the replacements, and we're going to say if we're replacing it at a 15% per year, that's 18 cows about. And I'm going to say if you're buying bred heifers, maybe it's $1,800 a pop. We got some bull costs. I've just said we're going to charge $50 head bull costs. That might be a little more. That might be generous, but we're going to charge these cows for grass just like we did our yearlings. And we're going to say we're going to feed hay for 4 months of the year. So we won't charge them for forage for that 4 months. So I'll charge them 8 months of forage at 1.2 AUMs. We're going to say we said they were 1,200 pound cows. Most of us are somewhere in there. And we're going to charge her 1.2 AUMs, okay? That's 1,200 AUMs that we're consuming off of our place. And we said, what did we say, $35 an AUM? We're going to be fair to her. We're going to charge the cows the same as we charge those yearlings, right? That's $42,000 for forage costs for our cows, okay? We also are going to feed hay to those girls for 4 months, we said. And that if we're feeding 2.5% body weight, we're going to say that's comes out to about 225 ton. And let's say 200 bucks a ton for hay. 225 ton, $200. That's 45,000 in hay costs that we're putting into those 125 cows. All right, we have salt and mineral for them, 25 cows, so $20 a cow. Vet costs, $10 a head. Trucking, $4 a head. Fuel, so $10 a head, right? So you guys probably have a fairly decent estimate of what these cows are costing you. And the bottom line on this stuff too is it's easy to get bogged down on these little numbers here and $500. Is it $500 or $600 for the trucking? Who cares? That's not going to make or break this decision on what we're going to decide based off this analysis, this partial budget deal. We're trying to get close and in the ballpark here. So don't get bogged down on dollars and little things, right? We're just trying to get an estimate to say, okay, big picture, what are these two options looking like? Are they even close? They might be so far apart that none of this little stuff is even going to matter. Okay. So we've pretty much got all these costs in here. There's probably some more, but you guys get the idea, right? So our proposed change is running yearlings instead of our cow-calf pairs, right? So we have the additional costs of running these yearlings. We're buying them and we're feeding them for 4 months and then we're selling them, right? And we're coming off, we're selling them for X amount of dollars, right? $824,000. We've lost a few. That's our proposed change, right? So the cost versus our income, that's how much we could potentially make off these yearlings, okay? This is our status quo down here, right? This is what we have always done. So we're going to say in a normal year, we would be running 125 cows that we had to destock due to this drought. So what's our reduced income or the calves that we would have sold off those cows? We also reduced the cost of running those 125 head of cows, right? You guys with me here? So let's look down here. It's going to tell us what we got going on. Okay. So this sensitivity analysis is basically saying, okay, it's going to give us a best case, a worst case, and a most likely scenario for the difference between these two options, yearlings or cows. Okay. And it's kind of, I like the sensitivity analysis is handy on here because it's saying, okay, most likely, what's this telling us? It's saying, in this case, with the numbers that we have just put in, these yearlings are going to make us $178,000 more than those cows would have made us. Okay. So that's what it's telling us our most likely outcome is. But what's our worst case scenario by making this change? Right. So what if the prices tank for these yearlings and the costs are way more than we had thought they were going to be? Well, and that there in our worst case scenario, by making this change, we're going to lose $8,000, right? What's our best case scenario? If prices skyrocket on these yearlings after we buy them and costs go down $365,000 more by running these yearlings and running those cows is what this is telling us. Okay. And this is not a sales pitch on running yearlings versus running cows. That's not what we're saying here. But what we're saying is in this scenario, you're most likely, see, in most of these scenarios here, you're in positive, right? This is the only one that's negative, I think, is our worst case scenario. This is saying most of the time in most of these scenarios, you're better off running yearlings in right now with these prices and these feed prices and your management, you know, how much hay you're feeding than running these cows. Okay. It looks pretty tough for the cows right now, but Blake and I have been going through the last week or two and playing with these numbers. It really does matter a whole lot. We found at what you're paying for those cows, where they are in the price cycle. If you're buying really expensive cows, you have to really crunch those numbers and really figure out what you're doing, because it's going to take quite a bit for her to be able to pay herself back. And if you have a breed up rack or your replacement rate is pretty high and she's turning over pretty quick, man, that it's tough for her to have a chance to pay herself back. Obviously, also this cow or calf price is affecting this too. So if you're selling $3 a pound calves, that's going to make this look quite a bit different also. And this year we picked this example because it's just been an interesting year with these yearlings. You're buying 650 pound animals for the same price per pound that you're going to sell them at as 850 pound animals, right? So those of us who that's favoring those heavier animals by quite a bit this year. And it shows up in this partial budget quite a bit.
One thing, Tris, cow income, there might be cold cow income that would help the cow deal.
Yes. What did we say? We're missing 18. Sorry about that. Sorry. We want to fare to these cows. I don't, what are you, $800 a head or something? What are we saying?
Sure. That'll work. Yep.
Okay. All right. So I just put in, thank you, Blake. We had some cull cow income there. That was $14,000. So that just changed that. And it just trickles through here. And it'll, if you, as you play with those numbers, your sensitivity analysis and your net income or loss here is going to adjust to how you change those numbers, which is the, you can do this on a piece of paper just as easily. But the nice thing about doing it here is you can mess around with these once you get them in. And it just does the math for you. No magic to it, but it's a handy tool to just kind of lay out two options and just see it right in front of your face and say, what are my costs and income of this? What are my costs and income of this? What's that telling me? And it's not necessarily telling you your overall profit. So if those of you guys, if you did notice, we didn't have costs in there. We took those out, right? So all we were talking is direct costs of running those cows and running those yearlings. So it's not telling your overall profitability. It's just telling you the difference, the relative profitability between the two options, okay? To get your overall profitability, you would go back to your whole ranch or whole farm budget and say, okay, I've made my decision. Here's my numbers. Here's all my costs. Now, what am I going to make off these animals? And I'm sure somebody's going to bring it up. We can just do a little discussion if you guys want, for sure. But I know, as always, there's multiple factors to think about with this stuff. And with this particular example, I know in our country, I'm located in northern Wyoming. And maybe you're set up, for those of us who have been running cows, you're thinking about running yearlings, say instead, there's a lot of other stuff to think about too, right? What does your labor look like? Do you have enough water to where you can run 600 animals in the summertime? Are your fences set up that way? They're going to tear shit up, right? That's a thing, right? So there's plenty of other factors that you got to think about when making these management decisions. You guys know that, but it's a pretty handy tool to just get started and saying, should I even be considering this or not? I do think, and this, that talk from Dr. John Ritten, Blake and I have both seen him talk quite a bit. And one of the cool things that he really stresses as far as drought management is having some flexibility in your cow herd and being able to take advantage of those good years and also be flexible and liquid enough to destock if you need to, more on your terms and less being dictated by the weather. So anyway, that's the partial budget from the Wyoming Ranch Tools. If anybody has any questions, or if you guys want to scream and shout or argue about those numbers, I can screen share again, or we can visit about it or whatever, but that's about all I had for you guys. Blake, did you have anything else?
No, just real quick, that cow, Tris touched on it real quick, that cow valuation tool, you guys, yeah, go check that out. It's pretty user-friendly and handy. And basically you can, it's just based on what your annual costs are to run a cow. It's just factoring that in. Essentially, what is today's price, the value of calves that you would be selling today? And then you should have a good idea too of how many average calves your cow herd is averaging. So basically it's taking into account, what is the overall value, you know, that cow that you're possibly looking to purchase, what are they generating? And essentially, it's also taking into account where you think we are at in the price cycle. You think prices are going to be increasing over the next 5 years? Are they going to be staying relatively the same? Are we heading on a down curve here over the next few years? Because that makes a big difference, right? If you're purchasing cows at the top end of the market, and then by the time they start reaching their peak productivity, the calf prices have started to trickle down. Maybe some of those cows, maybe they have a hard time paying for themselves. So this tool is pretty handy at just kind of spitting out numbers, maybe help you making decisions on what, you know, maybe what you should be paying for your replacement cows or trying to build the herd back up, trying to stay within that range. Or maybe it helps you make the decision. Maybe you aren't going to do the cow thing just because you feel they are overvalued or overpriced. But anyways, it's a handy tool. And all these tools have nice written descriptions and stuff that go along with them too. Some of the technical terms, sensitivity analysis, sounds kind of goofy and stuff. But anyways, yeah. Any questions, I guess?
Went through that kind of fast, guys. But if you are interested, it is definitely a handy thing if you're thinking of making a change to your operation. You could figure out, I just did it again for a different operation. You can print one out, a blank one, and just write it down, and you can get, or just do it there online and type it in there, and you can do it in half an hour or an hour. And just to get a ballpark kind of estimate of, if I'm thinking about doing this, what do I think the costs are? We all can just guess on that stuff and get some pretty good information on it. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's all that Blake and I had for you guys today. If anybody has any questions on that, I'll put my email in the Holly. Does the chat thing record as well so they can have my email?
It doesn't, but I can send it out later in an email.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll get you guys the link to that and then my email. And if you have any questions on that stuff, don't hesitate to reach out. But I guess we just probably leave you with, as you're going through this stuff, and definitely challenge yourself to really, I would say it really is an opportunity. If you're in a situation like this, or you find yourself in a situation like this, we all know that it can be tough in our line of work. You have to sell cows and looking at how to build your herd back up and what you should do, and really take that opportunity and make the most of it by looking at these numbers. And maybe just because we have been doing something forever in the past doesn't mean that necessarily we have to keep doing that, everything that same way. And maybe there's a chance to build some flexibility into your operation moving forward, and some drought tolerance moving forward. And because we all know, I think we all believe we're going to be in this situation more and more. If anybody has any questions or whatever, don't hesitate to reach out to Blake or I. We'd be happy to answer any questions later on as well.
And I will just say, if anybody wants to ask a question, just go ahead and unmute yourself. But the only thing, Tris, I would like to ask is, how did you come up with your 600 yearling number versus 125 cows?
Oh, so I was going pretty conservative on the yearlings, actually, but I just based it off forage availability. So we don't have to go through all the math, but your 125 cows for 12 months is about 1800 AUMs. And then your 600 yearlings is, what is it? It's about 1740 AUMs. So it's just similar forage consumption. And we're assuming that you would use that forage base. You'd be able to use that forage base for those yearlings. So that's another, you'd be able to graze their pivots or whatever. So we're assuming that you're using that available forage for the year, or you're able to for those yearlings. And like Chris, I said, go for it.
I'm probably going to say the same thing.
Oh yeah. Just there's other limiting factors, right? There's other things to consider. Like for us, you might not be able to stock your place with that many yearlings just from water availability. Right. There's a lot of places that couldn't handle that many animals in the peak growing season and in the summertime, just from water availability. So that'd be something, maybe you can only run 300, but you'd be able to put that in and adjust your numbers to that. Did you want to say something, Bill? Sorry to call you.
Yeah. Thanks for the presentation. Good to See you again, Tris. So there seems to be a thought that what you presented is that you would create that opportunity annually by never fully stocking your place with one type of animal, like fully stocking your cows and always having a certain percentage available for a product that could move and be more liquid, so you wouldn't be pressing your cow herd. Do you, in your experience and Blake's as well, do you see that being a pattern more ranchers or more operators are building in? Because even as you say, yeah, we're maybe coming out of a drought and we're all in different situations out here in eastern Montana, but you know, there could be a lot happening in the next 6 months in terms of, and how quickly things can change. So the idea that you can take on the Southern Enterprise and then all of a sudden, heck, it doesn't rain in June. And now you're, again, you can move those animals, those yearlings a lot easier if you have to do that. But I guess I'm just curious if as a practice itself, if not putting all your eggs in one basket on a forage-based place is over time proving to be a more pragmatic way to harvest your forage.
Blake, you definitely come across or familiar with more people's operations than I am.
I do think this drought has definitely challenged a lot of people to have some different thoughts on that build. Maybe, yeah, building in, like you were talking about, a flexible enterprise, their operation, just because that graph, I think that Trish showed, and really, it does hit home. And I think a lot of parts of Montana are probably very close to that. Now, Western, or there'd be maybe certain environments, maybe your ranch, maybe you aren't as, I guess, precipitation isn't as much of a limiting factor. Maybe you're more irrigated, your precipitation patterns are more, not as variable as what Trish showed. But I think there are a little bit more people that are trying to build a little bit of flexibility into their operations with some flexible enterprises. But yeah, and we definitely have some people that do have that or had that built in going into this drought. But yeah, I don't know. There's still quite a few. There's still people too. Like I said, I don't know that maybe you're still thinking they might go back and kind of continue doing what they have been doing. It's a mixed bag, I would say. But
I just have, Colin, just one question, then I'll keep my mouth shut. It's like, you know, what at least our operation has learned in the last few years, that minimizing herds, and this is something most of us are familiar with, create better opportunity for stockpiling and recovery of your forage base. When you go to yearling deal and then all of a sudden you're, at least looking at our ranch anyway, now you're running two animals during the growing season versus one group, and that just has an impact.
Yep.
So anyway, I'm done.
No, I think that's good. I think that is the hard part of, it's just the partial budget is definitely really nice, helpful in trying to make the decision, but that it's still limiting, still, yeah, unintended things, learning curves. As soon as you make a somewhat bigger change into your operation, obviously there's going to be some challenges with that and some learning curves. I'm sure a lot of you listening, maybe you've run into that yourselves too. Yeah, that's something that's always challenging, I think, to navigate.
And I just add, I see Connie, thanks for your question too. Connie just asked about grazing custom grazing yearlings versus buying yearlings. And Blake and I have a couple friends in Southern Wyoming who do a lot of custom grazing as well. And I'm less familiar with the custom grazing side of things, but back to what that partial budget that we just, those numbers that we just ran, I think Blake and I figured on those numbers, we were trying to, and once again, we're not promoting one over another, but we're trying to bend over backwards to make $2,200 cows pay. And it was just, man, it was tough. And I would just say, even if you, I mean, if you're losing $50,000 a year for 5 years off of those cows by buying them, to me, it's just, you could lease that place out to your neighbor for $20,000 and be $70,000 in the black from, it's kind of like, whatever you got to do to avoid that situation by buying cows that are just not going to pay, even if you're not fully realizing the potential, quote unquote, of your place for a year or waiting for a year to restock. It's, those are options that most of us are like, there's grass, let's do this, right? Back in, we got it now. And man, it's, if maybe waiting for a year is a better option, if you're, maybe prices are just going to keep going up and it's going to get harder to buy back in too. But it's hard to justify running some of the, if you know these numbers are panning out, or if you're fairly confident that these cows are not going to pay for themselves, man, it's like, we got to get a little creative in our thinking, I think. And maybe, not that that answers your question, Connie, but looking into these different options, maybe custom grazing yearlings is a good option for a year and just try it. And then maybe prices go down and we have the opportunity to buy back in when towards the bottom of the price cycle. But yeah, or maybe short-term cows or something are the answer. I don't know that it tells you the answer, but it this stuff definitely tells you what's not the answer, I would say, maybe at least right now or in certain situations. It's a bummer. Being the economists are always the ones that have to give everybody the bummer news on everything. I feel like we need to go back into doing like nutrition or genetics or something. I don't know.
Do you guys ever look at running, like using hedging and like those examples that you were just running, hedging or options when you're running your numbers?
No, what do you mean? Contracting out. Yeah. You could, that obviously takes out some uncertainty from it. I haven't really played around with that, but you could, it takes out some uncertainty for sure.
Yeah, I was just curious, like when you're running on that system, like those tools, that there's, if you can use, if there's a spot for that in there, or if you guys have had much experience doing that. Any of that?
I
don't have much experience. Obviously, that is a good point, though. Yeah, hedging, risk management, you know, on a yearling operation, or especially, is going to be important. Yep.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to think of how you would do it that far ahead of time. Because yeah, I'm sure you could, Brian. We should visit about that. I'd have to think about that a little more to give you a good answer on that. But you'd have to factor it in for sure, I think.
I like the comparison that you've got here. It looks like a neat tool. I was just curious if you actually equalized the amount of forage grazed by both of those enterprises, how it would look. So you've got, I know that 125 cows for 12 is like 1800 AUMs, but you've got them grazing for 8 months, which means you're only actually grazing 1200 AUMs, and then you're feeding hay for the rest of the time. One could conclude that if you only have 8 months of a grazing season, that theoretically you could run more cows, which in this scenario, you would just be losing more money. So it doesn't really make sense. But if you had a situation where you could graze out more, if you increased that to where those cows were actually consuming 1700 to 1800 AUMs and eating that much less hay, how those two enterprises would compare at that point.
Definitely. Looking at these costs in there, we thought the same thing. It's just that winter feed just jumps out at you as such a huge cost. And if that would be a big one, if you cut down that hay base and graze more, for sure that's going to make your cows look better. Let me see if we can, might have just, here I'll, if you guys got just a second, I'll share the screen. We can just real quick just mess around with that. So you're saying, you want to just put it all, let's just put it all to say we're not feeding any hay for now to those cows, Wyatt?
or at least just get it up to where they're grazing about 1700 or 1800 AUMs and then take the rest out on hay because they do have to eat something for 12 months.
Okay, so say...
I don't know what that would be.
Yeah, say maybe 10 months. So...
Yeah, I mean, it would be most of a year, looks like, actually. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
1,500.
Do you got those? That's 1,500?
Yeah, it's 150 AUMs a month.
And you need to reduce your hay.
By 2 months, probably. So by half in that case, because we said we were doing 4 months.
Yep.
Okay.
100 ton of hay or something.
Yeah, whatever. Let's say 100 ton of hay. So that, I'm trying to make sure we didn't just move it around if we actually... Yeah, so before we were at about 90,000, I think, give or take, and now we're at just feed costs, the forage plus the hay, and now we're at 72,000. So we saved $15,000 in feed there for the cows. Still didn't push us to the limit, but it definitely it brought us closer together.
The other thing I think would be interesting to, and we don't have to go through it tonight, but to work in is on these yearling deals, it's really rare that on May 1st, you go out and buy 600 yearlings and you ship them directly to the ranch. A lot of times you're going to have to buy them before that and probably put them in a grow yard for a while and feed them for a little while and then process them and then haul them out to the ranch at that point. So you've got quite a few other layers of costs in with those yearlings through that process. The spreadsheet itself, I think, is great. It's a great way to compare it. I really like it. Thanks for presenting that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And thank you. Thanks for your thoughts on that. Absolutely. And also, if you're retaining, if you're keeping your own calves, right, if you're retaining them back, you're going to have your winter costs on them as well. You're going to have yearly costs on them too. But yeah, thanks. And this was just a quick example, but you could see how you could easily build it out to represent your real costs on something. Yeah, thanks, Wyatt.
Yep.
Anybody else?
And like going, I guess, back to the custom grazing, you know, you compared the cows to the yearlings, maybe you decide, okay, I'm not sold on buying cows at this price. Then you could compare whatever, leasing the extra pasture out, custom grazing the extra pasture out to the yearling deal, which was showing to be the better value. It's a pretty handy tool. It saves whatever you've been working on. You can print it. That's, I don't know. Yeah. Nice. I think a nice thing to, easy thing to use, but anyways.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I guess if no one else has any thoughts on that, please feel free to reach out to myself or Blake. Blake, what outfit do you work for again?
Montana Livestock Egg Credit.
Oh yeah. You're supposed to say that earlier.
I did.
Oh, you did. Okay. Holly, thank you for having us. And Chris, I think Chris was on earlier, but yeah, this is awesome that you guys attend these things. We'll have to start attending ourselves. This is pretty sweet.
And Blake, are you okay if I send out your email as well, if anybody has questions?
Yep. No, definitely.
I'll just make sure I send that out in an email by tomorrow, guys, just so you know. I guess I'd just take one more last call, if you guys don't mind, one last call for a question, if anybody has one. And if not, we'll call it a night.
Thanks to both of you. Enjoyed it.
Yeah. No, thank you guys. It looks like
thanks, folks.
Attended. So
yeah. Thanks for showing up. We appreciate it on a Monday night.
Thank you for sharing. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Yeah, thank you. That was great. Thank you.
See you down the road. Thanks, guys.